Sunday morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good Sunday morning. It is again, a treat and a privilege to be with you all. Many thanks for this opportunity to spend a weekend with you considering our subject matter, how to be selfless in a selfie world. How to be selfless in a selfie world. And as I connect it with your leadership, we thought it would be appropriate as we are wrapping up the summer and starting the fall and all things starting anew and afresh, whether that be Bible study fellowship or getting back to school or just the reality of this season. We thought it'd be appropriate to think about this decision that we all need to make. And really and truly, we need to make it over and over and over again, a decision that we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul encourages believers to realize who we are in Christ, to realize all that we have and all that we are because of what we've just sung together, because of the power of the cross, and we might make this decision. And I asked you, as we got started, and I'll ask you again as we get finished, have we made a decision? Have you made a decision that says this? I will no longer live for myself. I don't want to live for myself as the focus of attention. I will no longer live for myself, but rather for the one who died for me and rose again. I want to live for him. I want to be all in. Have you made that decision? It's a decision that we need to make once and for all, but a decision that we truly need to revisit over and over and over and over again. And so we looked at one chapter in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and the intention, the goal was to see what it looks like to be selfless in a selfie world. The importance of not doing anything from empty or vain conceit, the importance of considering others as more important than ourselves, not only looking out for our own interests, but also the interests of others. And so we saw the perfect example of the Lord Jesus, how he demonstrated this humility perfectly. We saw last night what that should look like in our own lives. And this morning, we're going to look at two examples, two individuals who purpose to be selfless as well as we close our time. But I want to start technically with homework. I know you're excited about that. This homework will not be graded, and this homework will not be collected, but you need to do this homework in the next 39 minutes or so. What I'd love for you to do, and I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you would like to take it, to share a word, a phrase, a thought, a sentence that may not be complete, but nevertheless, just a takeaway. What one thing, what one thought, what one word, what one consideration has stood out to you this particular weekend together? From Philippians chapter 2, from 2 Corinthians 5, other verses that perhaps have been mentioned. But what one thing? What one thing are you going to take away as we depart in a little bit, and you're going to think a little bit on that particular thing? I will give you time to share that one thing in just a moment, if you would like. This verse stood out to me. This phrase really captured my attention. I loved this. What was that for you as we spent time together in God's Word? We'll do a little review in just a moment, and we'll do that in the same fashion we've been doing here of late. But typically, and I haven't done this typically, but typically I like to get started with the motions. I like to get started with Momo Nation, if you will. Some of you are here for the first time, and you're a little puzzled regarding what that might be, and so allow me just to explain what we have attempted to do just for fun, but also to help us remember We've done these motions. And so they're words with motions that help us remember what we've talked about. And so I'll remind you where we've been. I gave you four last night that we didn't do corporately together, but they're still part of the motions. We'll stand in just a moment if you have the courage to do so. I will not make you nor call you out if you do not participate. The Lord knows. But we'll do them all together. And so here's what we have done, and I'll give you one more in summary form. So the first one, the first three really talk about the word joy, which is a theme of Philippians, how we can really have it. And it's really true that when we think of Jesus first, others second, ourselves third, we really can have this concept of joy. Joy is a choice that believers need to make in the midst of each and every situation. So we started with this, right? If you're with me, feel free. Jesus, others, you. We did that, right? And then we considered a few theological concepts. The first was this idea of hypostatic union, bringing those two natures together, fully God, fully man, united together forever in the person of the God-man, and then the voluntary non-use of his attributes referred to as the what? The kenosis, emptying of himself, voluntarily not using what still remained his, not using those God-like, his godness for his advantage. The kenosis. And then last night, eight words, which means four motions. They are work like a shovel, work hard, don't whine, shine brightly. And when we do this in a moment, we do this in like one circle and twinkle, twinkle, if you will, like this. So be careful as you do so. And then hold fast, the word of righteousness. Fight for the faith, Jude would say. And then the last motion is taken from a classic movie, perhaps you've seen or heard of, The Princess Bride. Anyone familiar with that? So in The Princess Bride, there is a farm boy. His name is what? Right, farm boy Wesley. And farm boy Wesley is in like with Princess Buttercup. Right. And so they are having this moment where they are purposing to define their relationship. And she helps, Princess Buttercup helps farm boy Wesley roll down the side of a hill. And as he is rolling down the side of the hill, he makes a declaration, a proclamation, and he simply says these three words. If you know them, feel free to say it with me. As you wish. Yes, nice emphasis on the holding it out there. Excellent. So after we've done hold fast, we then will take a bowing posture and we will say, as you wish. Why? I have no idea. I'm just kidding. Because the reality of our consideration is that we will say to the Almighty One, our great God who knows and cares and rules, whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want, I'm all in. I'm yours. I'm no longer living for me. I want to live for you. I want to live for you. Thus the declaration of as you wish. Do you think you can do them all with me? I'm just wondering. If you think so, feel free to stand and join me. I really mean it. If you don't want to, no big deal. It's been a long weekend. Thankful for the coffee. I'm amazed how quickly they can produce more and more coffee. Yeah, it's been a beautiful thing. All right. Three. Everybody ready? Get loose. Three, two, one. Jesus, others, you. Hypostatic union. Kenosis. Work hard. Don't whine. Be careful now. Shine brightly. Hold fast as you wish. As you wish. Outstanding. Give yourselves a hand. That was good. Yes. Yes, indeed. By way of review, here's how we do this. It's not tricky, but it somehow gets forgotten. All you have to do in our little review, if you have not received a very hip and trendy bracelet already, you may participate. And if you know the answer, what are the two things you need to do? Stand and proclaim. Stand and proclaim. That's right. That's right. That's all you have to do. Feel free to help somebody if you want to help them with the right answer. Grace upon grace this morning. So I was talking to Oren in between meetings and talked about the importance of encouragement. The importance of encouragement. We talked about a guy named Barnabas, known as the son of encouragement. The son of encouragement. And so I mentioned to Oren that he's been a real encouragement to me this weekend in a lot of different ways. And I said to you that in the book of Romans, Paul really wanted to visit the believers in Rome because he wanted to encourage them in their faith, but he knew that if he was with them, he would be encouraged in his faith. And so I said to you all that there's this concept, a two-word concept that describes this reality. What were those two words based upon this concept? Please stand and proclaim. Mutual encouragement. Mutual encouragement. Absolutely, Heather. Well done. Well done. And I trust this is the case, that has occurred. And if it has occurred, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Without much connectivity, and so being forced to do this face-to-face, I want to encourage you to go up to somebody and tell them, thank you for what they've done this weekend, what you've observed in them, how they have been, how they are, an encouragement to you. We need one another, don't we? We need one another. And so thank somebody and say to them, you have been an encouragement to me by doing this, by saying this, by, and you fill in the blank. Mutual encouragement, mutual encouragement. Last night, Perhaps you realized that I referenced a couple of songs as we were looking at the reality of what it should look like for us to live in a very dark, in a very corrupt, a very perverted world where we are supposed to shine brightly. So I referenced a couple of songs. I was thinking of one this morning. I woke up thinking about, actually went to bed thinking about Light Shine Bright. Some of you might know that little tunage by Sir Toby Mac. I was thinking about that one. Maybe some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, and I get that. I understand that. But Light Shine Bright. Last night I referenced two songs. Can you name one of the two or both? There you go. Shine by the Newsboys. That's right. That's right. And actually, I sang a little one to my kiddos. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Nicely put. Yes, yeah. I sang that one, but. That we might no longer live for self. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Here you go. No. Is everybody happy? Everybody happy? Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right, all right. Yes, yes. So I used to say to the kids in my youth group, it was very corny, it was very cheesy, but I didn't care. I used to say this based upon this passage. What did I say to those kids in the youth group? What was it?
You are a star.
That's right. Twinkle, twinkle, you're a star. Well done, star. Outstanding. Outstanding. I made some notes on my notes, just to make sure I covered a few of these things. So we were encouraged to think about our salvation. We're supposed to think about our salvation and not work for it, but work at it. And there were two words that helped direct our attitude in regards to how we're supposed to view our salvation with blank and blank. So help me remember those two words. Awe and reverence, that's good. Based upon your translation, fear and trembling is appropriate as well. We are supposed to view salvation that way, with awe and reverence, with fear and with trembling. Somebody remind me of the simple yet practically, theologically based phrase describing the person of the Lord Jesus. My dad taught it to me years ago. I shared it with you. How do we define the person of the Lord Jesus? Please. Stand and proclaim.
Fully God.
Yes.
Fully man.
True. Fully God, his deity, fully man, his humanity, yet without sin, the impeccability of the person of the Lord Jesus. Think on those things. Who is Jesus? Fully God, fully man, yet without sin. Can somebody tell me the two people that we're going to look at today that we haven't looked at already that made a decision to be selfless? Who are those two? Paul and Timothy, and we might not mention Timothy or Paul because he's in chapter 3, but we will get to him. Yes, yeah, Epaphroditus, we're going to take a peek at him in just a twinkle. Yes, indeed. Okay, so here's the thing. I have two purples left, but there's the opportunity to trade and negotiate after this session, so I'm going to hang on to those. So if you didn't get the color you'd like, come see me, trade amongst yourself. If you're desperate for one, ask your parents to get you one. Easily done so. And maybe you have free delivery if you go to Amazon. Yeah, no doubt. Let's pray. Homework, it's your turn in just a moment. But we're going to look at a few other examples of selflessness. Father, we need your help. We thank you that we can be reminded that in and of ourselves, we are inadequate. We are insufficient. But help us to be reminded that our adequacy, our sufficiency, comes from and is found in you. And so we do need to get to work and work at our salvation with fear and trembling, but we need to also remember you are at work to will and to work for your good pleasure. It's not either or, it's both and. You've provided us everything we need for life and godliness right now, and yet you say, make every effort to grow, to be diligent. So may we do that. Help us, Father, as we start anew and afresh this season to decide to not live for ourselves, even though the world around us cries out and encourages us to be self-absorbed. Father, help us to be blameless, innocent children of God, above reproach, right in the midst of a dark and perverted world. May we shine brightly, we ask and pray. May we see the importance of our service and our sacrifice affecting other people. Paul wanted to live that way, and he wanted others to live that way as well. And so may we realize we're not meant to do this alone. And yet living this way is really lonely. So thank you for the example of those who have gone before us. Selfless, sacrificial servants of yours. May we learn from them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Philippians chapter 2, just for a moment or two, I want to highlight just a few verses with these final examples. And then it's your turn. Homework is before us. Would love to hear from you for our mutual encouragement. Here's what stood out to me. Here's what stands out to me. Here's what is encouraging or challenging, convicting, whatever the case might be. Paul concludes this section, and our brother was right. There are really three or four examples of what it looks like to be selfless. We definitely have seen that in the person of the Lord Jesus. We'll see it in Timothy. We'll see it in Epaphroditus as well. And in chapter 3, we see the example of Paul also. So, four examples of selfless living. And we desperately need those examples in order for us to be those kind of people. And so, in verse 19, we sense the heartbeat of Paul as he would love to be with these believers in Philippi. He cares a lot for them. He's unable to be with them. He knows by now his release is coming soon from his imprisonment. But he wants somebody to get to the church at Philippi to encourage them and strengthen them. And so he mentions a guy that is his son in the faith, a kindred spirit, Timothy. Verse 19, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly." Why? "So that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition." He cares about them deeply. He's grateful for them, and so he wants to find out how they're doing, and that will be of grand encouragement as he gets an update regarding their condition. "For I have no one else." Look at this verse. Would you look at this verse with me? Paul writes, and he says, you know what? This is lonely. The reality of being a selfless, sacrificial servant of the Lord Jesus is lonely. You know that, don't you? And Paul says in verse 20, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit." I have no one else of kindred spirit. There's nobody else who has the same kind of heartbeat that I have. I wish there was. I wish there were more people like me so I could just send a truckload of people to check up on you, Church at Philippi. But there is somebody who has a kindred spirit like mine, and that's Timothy. "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will do what? Who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare." Verse 20 is a verse that you really should think long and hard about. It's loaded. It's loaded. And so in that verse, we see the reality of Timothy being like Paul, kindred spirit, same heartbeats. Don't you love that when you interact with people who have the same commitment and the same desire to know and follow hard after Christ? Timothy was one of those guys. And what made him that way? He genuinely cared about other folks. It's selflessness. He wasn't just concerned about his own interest, but was concerned about the interest of others. He, Timothy, like Paul, like the Lord Jesus did perfectly, was concerned about other folks and considered other people as more important. Do you know people like that who really think and live that way? Paul says, you know what? The reality is the list is short. But I do have Timothy. I do have Timothy, kindred spirit, who's concerned about the welfare of other people. You, Church at Philippi, what happened to everybody else? Why is the list so short? He tells us in the next verse, and it's heartbreaking. And we hear these heartbreaking stories every day about people who say, for various and sundry reasons, I am not interested in following after Jesus with all that I am and with all that I have. Listen to what it says. It tells us why. "For they all," that's everybody else, "for I have no one else, for they all seek after" what? "Their own interests." That's why it's so lonely. That's why he had only Timothy to send to check up on them. Because everybody else was bailing left and right because they were seeking after something else. Their own interest. Their own interest. Not those of Christ Jesus. Where are you in regards to this reality? Would you be a kindred spirit of Paul and of Timothy? Would you be someone like Paul suggests clearly in 2 Corinthians 5 that we need to come to the point and place where we say, I will no longer live for myself, but I will live for the one who died for me and rose again? Are you on that list, or would you be one of those who is just dealing with the stuff of this world and who has concluded and who is saying, I'd rather pursue my own interest than following after Christ? I've known some of you for a little while. Some of you I've just met. But this reality I know to be true, that the Christian life is crazy difficult, isn't it? It's very hard. It's very hard for all kinds of reasons. Joy killers, joy busters in Philippians, circumstances, other folks, material madness, anxiety, worry, trials, they kill our joy. They're busters of joy. The Christian life is hard, and we desperately need to have kindred spirits to together say to one another, you know what? I don't want to live for myself. And you know what? I know you don't want to either. So let's live for the Lord Jesus together. But we need to be reminded anew and afresh, clearly, that everything around us says, pursue your own interests and not the interest of Christ. We don't have the time because your homework is about due. We don't have the time, but there are so many examples from our culture where people have made declarations that say, you know what? I'm no longer interested in following after Christ. I'd rather pursue me. I'd rather pursue the stuff of this world. There was a guy that I still listen to his music, but he's with the Lord, a guy named Rich Mullins. And Rich Mullins used to sing this statement, this concept, and he would sing, the stuff of this world competes for the allegiance we owe only to the giver of all good things. It's really true, isn't it? The stuff of this world competes for the allegiance that we owe only to the giver of all good things. Some of you children of the 80s might recall a group called Cademan's Call. Do you remember them? Yeah, thank you for coming. They sang a song entitled This World, This World. And in that song, they would make the declaration that this world has everything, but ultimately nothing that I need. So in the chorus, it made a declaration that said, and now I'm breaking up. Now I'm waking up, it says, and now I'm breaking up, and now I'm making up for lost time. The idea of realizing that this world has nothing for us, and yet this world has everything. All that I could ever want and nothing that I need, they would sing. Some of you remember that. Some of you don't and don't care to, and that's fine. We're bombarded by this world and being self-absorbed. And so I'm thankful for examples like Paul and like Timothy and like Epaphroditus and like the Lord Jesus who demonstrated sacrificial, selfless service. The passage goes on to say this regarding Timothy. But you know of his proven worth. Again, proven character, proven worth requires two things. What two things? Time and consistency. That he served with me, why or for what purpose? In the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. What a great example. What a kindred spirit Timothy was. Not like the majority who were pursuing their own interests and not those of Christ. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. Under house arrest in prison, this is a prison epistle. He knows by now that he likely will be released, and so that could affect what he does next, and he's making reference of that. 24 says, and I trust, hinting at that, and I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall be coming shortly. And then he addresses one more person. One more person. We'll look at his life rather quickly, but what an example. There's such a description of his role. Fivefold, I think. You count it. It might be four. Four or five things said about Epaphroditus. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. How is he described? What's his job description? What's his ministry look like? My brother, number one, and fellow worker, number two, and fellow soldier, number three, who is also your messenger, number four, and minister, number five, to my need. That's unbelievable. Think about the ministry of Epaphroditus, what his role was, what he was made for, what he was called to be and do. We talked about humility, a definition of it, the idea of understanding where you fit in God's plan and in God's program. There's such freedom once you realize your strength and your weaknesses, your gifting and your lack of gifting, who you are in Christ, and then purposing to be that until you're with him. There's a new kind of coach in the NFL these days, you know, a coach that's very analytical, that looks at all the data, that carries a clipboard and has every strategy and every play planned out, and the Bears coach is that way. And the Bears played the Packers Thursday night. They lost, by the way. You knew that. They lost. Go Pack, go. But on Coach Nagy's clipboard, he has two words. Be you. Be you. He's one of these authentic coaches, and he's trying to get his players to just recognize who they are, their strengths, their weaknesses, and to play within themselves. Be you. Now, from a secular perspective, that mindset philosophy could go awry quickly, right? Just do whatever you want to do. Be you. It doesn't matter. But biblically, that's a beautiful thing. Be who you are in Christ, what God has made you to be, how he's designed you as his handiwork, masterpiece, craftsmanship that we see in Ephesians 2:10 and other places. And we see that in this fivefold description of Epaphroditus. He had a calling and a ministry specific to who he was. So be you, biblically speaking. 26 and following, listen to the heartbeat of Epaphroditus. He was longing for you all, and he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Do you see the selflessness? Here he's sick, and I'm not just talking a cold, sick to the point of death, likely sick to the point of death because of his extreme commitment to being a servant who is selfless. And in the midst of this sickness, he's concerned about other people. Other people, others focused. Jesus, others you. Because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. You hear he's sick, and so he's worried about you knowing that he's sick. For indeed he was sick. How sick? Sick to the point of death. Because God had mercy on him, and Paul says on me too, and not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. That would have been horrific for me had Epaphroditus' life been taken because of his sickness. I have enough concern about him being sick and about the reality of my care and concern for you. Listen to how this section ends, chapter 2. And then it's your homework. Therefore, I have sent him. Sent whom? I'm asking. I forget. Who? Epaphroditus. Yeah, that's it. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly. Why? In order that when you see him again, you may rejoice. There's that word rejoice again. This word joy. This idea in the midst of circumstances that are not great, there's reason to rejoice and be joyful. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly in order that when you see him again, Epaphroditus, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Again, focusing on other folks. Therefore, receive him in the Lord with what? All joy. And then I love this phrase. Don't miss this phrase. hold men like him in high regard. Isn't that a great statement? Hold men like him in high regard. Hold individuals like this in high regard. What kind of individuals? Individuals that are not concerned about seeking after their own interests. Individuals that are far more concerned about other people. Sacrificial, selfless servants of the Lord Jesus. Do you know people like that? Do you know people like that? That you should, we should hold in high regard? Do we have a kindred spirit with those kind of people? Or are we folks that have been caught up with the stuff of this world that competes for the allegiance we owe only to the giver of all good things? What does it say about him in conclusion? Because he came close to death, why? Why did he come close to death? You tell me why. For the work of Christ. He was so caught up with and consumed with serving the Lord Jesus Christ that he almost died in doing so. It's a great example of being selfless in a selfie world. We're not just in a selfie world these days, my friends. They were in that same reality as well. It looks different. We have more technology and different realities, but the same struggle with sin, selfishness, abounds. So hold individuals like him in high regard. Because he came close to death, why? For the sake of Christ, risking his what? His life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. He was willing to give his life for the sake of other people. Are we? He loved us, the Lord Jesus, and gave himself for us. It makes logical sense to conclude then, I will love him and I will give myself for him. Demonstrate it practically in serving other people. You there? I appreciate the sport of football. I like college football. I like pro football. I played decades ago. Just memories. There's a team that I appreciate these days. I have a lot of friends who live in the South Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina primarily region, but the Southeast, who love Clemson these days. And they have a coach. Anybody know the coach's name? I forget. Dabo Sweeney. You know what is true about Dabo Sweeney? He loves the Lord Jesus. And he did not inherit a program that was already successful. He inherited a program that was weak, and he built a strong program. But he has infused in that program biblical principles. He's a standout guy, no doubt. And if you go into the locker room of the Clemson Tigers, you know what two words you'll see everywhere? Two words that he talked about in his first speech when he was given the privilege to coach the Clemson Tigers. Two words. You know what the two words are? All in. All in. All in. And that's what we're really wanting you to think about this weekend. Are you willing to come to the point and place where you will say, I will no longer live for self, but I will live for the one who died for me and rose again? In regards to that, I will be all in, all in. Chapter 2 of Philippians. Own it this year, this fall. Review it. Memorize it. I dare you. Memorize the whole thing. But perhaps you'll help us conclude our time together by saying, you know what, this stood out to me and it really encouraged me. This phrase, this verse, this thought, this concept. It's your turn now. What has stood out to you? Stand and proclaim or sit and proclaim. Think about someone that has double hearing aids and wants to hear what you desire to share. So speak up so you can be heard.
Christ first.
Christ first. Thank you, ma'am. Amen.
Fear and trembling.
Isn't that a great description of how we should view our salvation? Fear and trembling. What else?
Think like him.
Humble position as a slave.
Humble position as a slave. Amen. What else?
It is a decision,
isn't it? Cognitive decision.
We cannot do this alone. God works for us, and we encourage one another.
Amen.
Those two things are important.
We're not meant to do this alone. He's at work, to willing to work, and we need one another. Amen. Others?
Let not one thing be done through selfish ambition.
Amen, Ace. Amen. Isn't that a favorite? Others.
When we were talking about that one, and then you mentioned the greatest example is Jesus, that just, wow, he never grumbled or complained. He had a lot he could have grumbled or complained.
Amen. Yes. It is. It is. The eternally existent Son of God taking on flesh and blood. The God-man. Fully God, fully man, yet without sin. Humbly. Please. That downward progression. It's humbling, isn't it? To ponder and consider. What else?
The rarity of somebody that's genuinely concerned for welfare.
It's rare. It's sad, isn't it?
In humility, in perfection, in totally in perfect whole, and just the fact that I guess it was the way that I put it there, but the way that I'm thinking is he was able to calm waters and a storm. He was able to bring people out of there, and he stood there and took the punishment by his choice and by his perfection. That's completely amazing, the fact that he could just keep up all his attributes as God is amazing.
It is amazing to think about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. It's amazing. Well stated. I appreciate that. Others? Quickly.
I appreciated the question you had us ask. While remembering that it's the same words that I spoke to Logan, do asking ourselves, what are you doing right now to grow in this situation?
Amen.
Just having to evaluate.
Amen. Work hard. It's hard work. Others, please. I will not close in prayer until everyone who has shared. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. We'll never do that. Never call you out. But would love to give you an opportunity if you'd like. Anybody else? Anybody else?
The definition of humility, viewing oneself accurately and appropriately in God's plan.
It's freeing, isn't it? Love that. Anyone else?
The example of Epaphroditus, that he's a soldier willing to die.
Yes. A soldier willing to die. Those five words, we could have taken some time to define those a little bit. But a soldier who's willing to give his life. Willing to give his life.
Shine brightly.
Love that. Light shine bright. Shine brightly. Sin is selfishness. Simply defined. Dr. Charles Ryrie mentioned that. It's really true.
Every knee will bow.
Every knee will bow. Do you remember? I was going to do this as a review question. I'm not now. But that T-shirt, every knee will bow on the front, what did it say on the back? You can count on it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Every knee will bow. Anyone else? Grilled cheese, I think, in a little bit. I think grilled cheese. I peeked. Isn't that something? Can you imagine being there? You can. You know what that's like. And to be one who is a kindred spirit with those who have gone before us and with us if we've made this all-in decision. Anyone else? I want to conclude with a prayer that a great man of God challenged me to pray. It's really short. This man's name, maybe some of you know him. He's been with the Lord for quite some time now. Served the Lord in a camp in Colorado, Camp Elam. Served also at Emmaus in the correspondence school. His name was Paul Sapp. Paul Sapp was a giant of a man. I'm saying 6'4", 6'5", 325-ish. I'm talking big man. But he had a super high-pitched voice. It didn't fit his girth. And he would call me Jonathan. He would say, Jonathan! And I can't do that for very long, so just imagine me doing that. He challenged me to pray this way. He challenged me to pray this way, and I want to encourage you to pray this way as well. He said, Jonathan, pray this way. Ask God to help you to hate sin and love him more. I dare you to pray that on a regular basis. And if we do, I'd suggest to you that we will be more likely to be selfless in a selfie world. Father, as we conclude, I simply ask on our behalf that you would help each of us to hate sin and to love you more. May we think about the things we've considered. May we own this chapter in the coming days and purpose to live these things out. Thanks for the example of Epaphroditus and of Timothy and of Paul, those who had made decisions to be sacrificial, selfless servants. And we thank you most especially of the perfect example of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to think about what would Jesus do? Help us to purpose to walk with Jesus daily. We would ask and pray. In Jesus' name, thanking you for a wonderful weekend, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What's that?
Still got two bands.
Yeah, you want one? Here's the deal. If I give you one, you got to think about what it says. What would Jesus do? And that's how you're supposed to act and live, okay? So if I give it to you, you need to think about what that means. Try to let that be seen in your life, right? Bring it to me. Don't leave me hanging. Thank you. All right. Hi, how are you?